Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel 8:32 says that, it's actually 11:32 is what I meant to say. 11:32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he will corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, there is a group of people who he, talking about the Antichrist here, will corrupt with flattery and will increasingly cause them to go further and further away from any appearance of godliness into a place of absolute wickedness. And you see this in the world right now, where there are certain people who completely cannot, like, the things which we know to be evil are the ones which they call good, and those which we know to be good are the ones they call evil. And they are so they're so convinced about their things that like, if you even dare go against them, you get a backlash, because they are so convinced. And now they are being corrupted, first of all, and then with flattery. And you know that the flattery, and I told you that the delusion of the end time is the delusion that tells men that they are God, and that there is no other God, that God is a construct of men. In other words, God did not make man, man made God. Now that is the teaching of the New Age. So man somehow could not, so they made up this thing called God. And so God did not make man, man made God. So man is actually God. And by God, I don't mean the one that's talked about in Psalms 84. I mean, like, real God. There is no supreme being who created. So now, and I've seen people, let me tell you, like, I know some guys, one of them was my OB. Born again and what? Then they went and met these New Age people. And then they taught them certain spiritual things, which they first of all taught them that thing of how you are God and so on. So they taught them these spiritual things, and then they started having those experiences of, you know, getting out of body and all that outside of the Lord. So in the new age thing. So they teach them how to sit in a what and do certain things and then say certain things. Then zoom, their body goes out. Now, there's nothing as dangerous as somebody having a spiritual experience of that nature outside of God. There is a way it hardens your heart against God, because I remember one time the Lord told me very clearly that way back I was trying to seek him, because I had something similar. I'd been praying, I'd been seeking the Lord. So then I went to bed. And before I went to sleep, I just had this thing of, I was there just before I went to sleep. Then suddenly I stepped out of my, you know, body and started moving around. Then now, it wasn't the first time it had happened. Previous times it had been brief. But this time I had control over where I wanted to go. So I said, I want to go here. So I would go there. And now when I came back, I was a bit excited. Now, I'd been fasting for 3 days. Now, the next day, I tried it again. Now, the next day, the Lord told me, now, do not do it unless I lead you into it. Don't try to get, because you see, it's very easy to get excited. Anyhow, this guy came and now was thoroughly convinced that he's God. So somebody came and told him that he had had this experience, and now he moves around. I know, he moves around. And now, by the way, the funny thing is, when you get... It's interesting that when people are here in Christ and in the Lord, like, they are prone to complain when this is not happening, this or that. Now that guy, his life, if you looked at his life outward, it was a complete mess. He was broke, he had lost his job, he was what? There was nothing about him that he had that was good. But he enjoyed the power that comes with doing what? Being, you know? So, like, his life was a complete mess. And you know, it was said, but he would come and one day went and told somebody that if you pray to me, my spirit will come and, you know, sort you out. Eh? Now, is that a covenant? That's the delusion, eh? Corrupt with flattery. Of course, it says God will send a strong delusion and you believe a lie. And that's the lie. And that's the main lie that is going to come in this time, where you're corrupted with flattery. So this guy would actually go and tell people, pray to me and I will sort you out. But then he himself, his life is a total mess. His wife had left him. What, he was a mess. Everything about him was a mess. But there's a certain kind of power that he felt he had, because he would go. One day went and told, I saw in my space yesterday. Like even now has a space, eh? As if it's raining, what? Over cities. Because he can do those things. So he goes, and now it is very dangerous when you do that outside of the Lord. Now the thing is, you can do it in the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with it per se. But there's a certain, you know, an exposure to it, which can very easily mess people up. And then you get into this area of what? Of delusion. And you start deluding yourself. Because then, anyhow, so. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now the thing here is, the knowing that they are talking about is not the knowing that so many of you would say, yeah, I know God. Those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, this is the time that we are living in, when while those people are going that side and doing their own version of exploits, we cannot afford to be teaching about a God that we do not know personally. Amen? And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. That's the purpose of us and even the ministry. For people to make people understand what's happening, because they don't. And I see how people get carried away with certain things and carried away with every wind. And, you know, some fad comes from some place and everybody, people get carried away with it. Now I see fashions. And people don't understand what's behind all of it. I mean, fashions, music, and you know, all those things. Now you see men's fashions, people putting on trousers, jeans which are tight on the skin. And you know, they are being designed by homos. Like, how do you get me to put on something like that? Like, okay, there are certain things which people do not. So, then you find people who do not understand, and things invade certain areas and make, you know, somehow they make young people think this is cool and what. And I gave an example of fashion because that's where so many people, like, I mean, really. Sometimes I even wonder, who comes up with these fashions? Eh? Who told us that we are supposed to put flowers on coats? But then we just do it because somehow we see other people doing it, isn't it? But who came up with these things? Now, who said, you know, you see, anyway. And somehow things change and you fit in without knowing why you're fitting in. Of course, maybe I should invent my own style, eh? Maybe not. But the thing is, because I'm not a style person, you know, I would invent my own other things. I have an area where I can invent. Anyhow, so for style, I would just copy. As long as it does not look weird. And it's tight holding somebody's like this. And men's clothes are like women's clothes. And now the funny thing is, now women's clothes are like the way men's clothes used to be. Anyhow. So, there are many people who do not understand, young people whom we have to instruct. And those who understand that the enemy, which was the purpose of everything, the enemy is after your mind and is going to go through music, through celebrities, through the things that Miriam was teaching about on Saturday. Music, celebrities, movies, and all those things. And things which you see and you cannot be the same. Now let me tell you, I know for a fact, there are certain shows you watch on TV, and if you stay watching them, you can never go to a certain level of spirituality. And they present themselves as comedy. Big Bang Theory. Like it is, there is demons. It, like, You people don't understand. Do you know what it takes for somebody to write scripts like that? A show is so popular that every one of its actors is paid $1 million per episode. But you listen to it, even just the intro song. I dare you to listen to watch that thing for 3 months. And you tell me that you stay spiritual. It eats at you slowly, slowly, slowly. How many people know Big Bang Theory? Okay. Some of you don't, which is good. Some of you don't even have TVs, which is even better. By then, that is better. Because can you imagine if you go home and you're just left to your thoughts and you actually have time to meditate without being interrupted by so-called entertainment? I would love that. But for football. Because, for instance, this weekend, Man City is going to hammer Man U. And I want to be there witnessing. But that does not make me carnal. It's just, never mind. But the point is, and those who understand shall instruct many, yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and by plundering. Now, I told you, go back to, for many days they shall fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, and by plundering. I told you, these are the options, and I read them from Revelation chapter 13. These are the options of the people who get left behind. Sword. Why are you changing the scripture? Sword, flame, captivity, and plundering. Plundering meaning you cannot buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast. So, those who understand have got to instruct many. Okay, go to verse 34. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join with them by intrigue. Now, okay. When they fall, let's first go ahead to the next one. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, make them white, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Now, this is what happens. This is what I was telling you about the people who get left behind. Because they get left behind because they are so in love with the world. And, they don't really want to. This whole thing seems a bit, you people take these things too seriously. Now, they are still enjoying the world. And they're actually in churches and what. And they want to receive a certain part of the message that is being preached. The part about, you're going to prosper, you're going to what, you're going to reign, and all those things, which is all true and so on. But then they really don't want to understand that there is a time limit to all this. Now, after our Saturday thing, a certain church, which for some reason always follows up what other people are doing and then does, and then kind of counters. And there was a time there used to be the biggest church in the city. I don't know, they may still be by numbers, but they're a very confused church right now. They went and put, instead of, I think, what did they use? On when Jesus is coming, why don't you concentrate on how he's going to find you? And that was their sermon for the weekend. As if, okay, but people can be confused. Why don't they do their thing and let other people do their thing? That so concentrate on how he's going to find you, instead of trying to speculate on when he's going to come. You understand? And now that sounds, and like people are toppled by a set of words. Now, sometime there's a Bible school here, which is, if you want to lose any spirituality you have, go to it. Like, if honest truth, if you want to lose any form of spirit and completely become as carnal, as steak, as beef steak, flesh, mobili, you understand? So that you look like a beef steak, that thing they put between bread to make a burger. You go to that Bible school. They have everybody who they hammer every. Now they say, Kenneth Hagin, they have a whole course on how he's false. And why is he false? Because he has faith in faith instead of having faith in God. And that's the whole course you did. But how stupid can people be, honestly, that he has faith in faith? You see, the Bible does not say we should have faith in faith. It says you should have faith in God. And they're just using English words to topple people. Then, instead of concentrating on the man of God, why don't you concentrate on the God of the man? And now that sounds like revelation. You people are concentrating on the man of God instead of concentrating on the God of the man. But you see, there's a certain level of stupidity which I can't understand. You cannot talk about Tiger Woods without talking about golf. Do you understand? Because what makes him unique? So you cannot talk about a man of God without talking about God. Because he's not an athlete. You cannot talk about Messi without talking about football. Because take away football, who is he? So when you talk about him, you're talking about what? Yes. And when you're marketing a sport or something, you don't use that thing. You use a person who represents it. You understand? And God is the master of that. That's why he calls Abraham and tells him, I'm going to make you the chief marketeer of Jehovah by making you rich, making you prosperous, your descendants what? You lend, you shall not borrow, you do this, so that you are a nation unlike any. And everybody looks at you and says, the God of Israel is unlike any other God. Why? Have they seen him? No. They have seen his people. The people who worship him are a representation of what he is. There is no other way God can project himself on people except through you. Is there any other way? Is he going to come in flesh? So it has to be you. Just like it had to be Israel. So he tells them, you shall, you know, your enemies shall come against you in one way. They shall go seven ways. They shall do this. They shall do. So that they know that the God of Israel. Now, even Israel, we can't talk about them without talking about God, can we? Otherwise, they're just another nation. Why aren't we talking about Bolivia? So you see, now, so when people start, you know, God of the man, not the man of God, and then they use English words to just mess and get, take stupid people captive. Okay. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, to purify them and make them white until the time of the end. But you see, you don't have to go through this suffering to be purified. You can be purified before by loving his coming, because it is still for the appointed time. Okay, go ahead. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt the king. Now, I want you to see that at first it calls him a prince, then it calls him a king. Now, it's still talking about the Antichrist. The next verse, it calls him a prince. Then it calls him a king. So, he's both a prince and a king. Okay? How is that possible? I don't know. I think we saw some things which... I showed you some things about somebody who is a prince and is a king. He shall exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. Okay. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers. Now when I saw this, the God of... The first time I saw it so many years ago when I was studying these things, I said, so the God of his fathers... Since these people actually put the God and put a capital G, which means they're talking about Jehovah. So I said, this must be a Jew. Because none of us qualify to say God is the God of our fathers, do we? Some of our fathers' gods were not God. For the most part. It's only they who can say the God of their fathers. But then I realized that they can be... The scripture talks about... those of the synagogue of Satan who pretend to be Jews, yet they are not Jews. You know that scripture? Somebody asked me about it on Saturday, and I didn't answer it because I didn't want to go into it. It's a lengthy thing. But then there are these people who are paying people to say that they are Jews, that they are descendants of David. And descendants, so somebody is both a descendant of David and a descendant of Muhammad, the false prophet. Okay. So, I didn't want to call him the prophet. Because really. So, you shall regard that. So now these people, you know that scripture which says those who pretend to be Jews and are not Jews? Do you know it? Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Now, there are these people, you know, king, prince, their descendants and what, somehow they, and then they call themselves the defender of the faiths. Somebody is supposed to be, you know, the monarch in England is supposed to be the defender of the faith, meaning the Protestant faith, the Anglican faith. But now Prince Charles says, no, for him, he will not be called defender of the faith. He added an S. So now he's defenders of so many other faiths. And he holds all these summits with Jews, with Muslims and Christians and so on, Archbishop of Canterbury and blah, 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 all that stuff. You know, politicized Christianity. Okay, let's go back to our scripture. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. Now you see these things. This thing has, a lot has been made about it. And I told you that how last time how they were saying that guy is, you know, those things. Okay. No regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall own a God of fortresses, that is of fighting, and a God which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold, silver, with precious stones, and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign God, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. The land they are talking about dividing is the land of Israel. Divide it, you know, those peace things, land for peace sort of thing. He shall want to divide the land for gain. Go ahead. At the time of the end, the king of the south, now here this one's a bit confusing. I will not go there for now. That's a matter for another day. But let's go back to 11:32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now the purpose of us coming here and meeting is so that you are trained to carry out great exploits. Amen? Glory to God. And to do that, you have to know God. To know, you know, okay. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now I want us to see certain things here. You know, way back, long ago, you get born again, and then you, for the most part, you approach it with this sense of, I'm going to heaven, and you know, there is, at first we didn't even think that there was a certainty we are going to heaven. We thought that if maybe you make a mistake and you die suddenly without repenting, you go to hell. But then I don't know how we even thought God is like that. How can he be like that? So I used to joke with somebody and say, like, man, heaven is like, you know footballers, the offside trap. You have to beat the offside trap. So if you zero the flag, you offside, sorry, hell. So man, you have to be on the lookout. And there are so many people who still believe that. Do you know that? But of course that is not true. That's not true, because that's why Jesus died. So that's, you know. Anyhow, so but you see, you start from this place where, and so many people are like this thing where you have your issues. Man of God, I want you to pray for me. There is this happening, there is that, you know, there are demons attacking me, then they are what, you know, blah blah blah. And you know, so yeah, so come on, pray for me, you know what? there's some witchcraft in my family and so on. Now these people are attacking me. Now the other day this, now somehow it's, nobody want, they don't want me to succeed and all that. And so they are always coming around, man of God, and that's their Christianity. It's at that level. And now go to 1 John 2:12. You see, now in the scripture, those are called little children, because your sins are forgiven. That's the first step where you learn your sins are forgiven for his name's sake, not for your sake. So you encounter his grace, and then you know that your sins were washed away, and forgiveness is an eternal thing. It's not something which it's not like the Old Testament where you have to come every year to offer fresh atonement. And now Hebrews explains that that forgiveness eternal, redemption eternal. Everything Jesus did was once and for all. Okay? Now it is eternal. Now you understand that. Now some people haven't even reached the area of little children. Do you understand? So to qualify to even be called little children, you have to understand that your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Okay, go ahead. He says again here, I write to you, little children, I'm jumping on some parts, because you have known the Father. Now you've known God as the Father. Now that's different. Now you see, these words are almost the same, are the same translation into English, but they are not the same words in the original language, because the knowing here is knowing, the head knowledge. But the other knowing there is the knowing that they use for a man and his wife. Okay? So, Abraham knew his wife, and she conceived. That's the other knowing. This is not, the one of little children is not that knowing. It is knowing in the head. So, it is a certain knowledge kind of knowing. Okay. Because, he says, I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Okay, go ahead. Okay. Verse 15. Okay. So, here are the things he says about the little children. Number one, they know their sins are forgiven, for his name's sake. And number two, they know about God the Father. They know that God is the Father. That's a good place to start, little children. Now, you see even scriptures which some people quote, like, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, it actually says, I've written to you, little children, so that you may know greater is he that is in you. Because somebody who is mature, you don't have to remind me that God is greater than the devil. You see, But if you are little children, then you have to what? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now that is a scripture for who? Little children. Praise the Lord. So if you need to be reminded that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, then you know where you stand. We are going to get you, a credo to put you in, and we swing you left and right, or a pram and we push you. Little children, greater is he that is in you than the devil that is in the world, than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. So that is your level, little children. Now go back there, 1 John 2:12. Let's see what he talks about young men. Now after little children, the next level is what? Now here it says, I write to you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Praise the Lord. Now go to verse 14 and receive. I have written to you young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now here, when somebody comes and every single thing, every attack in their life, they have to run to some man of God. Pray for me. Do this. Yesterday, something came on me. And at night, and this, and all. Little children, greater is he that is here than the devil that is in the world. And we've all been through that. And some people stay at that level of Christianity, where you're little children, but it's good. But then others learn how to sort that themselves. You see, he says here that you have overcome the wicked one, young men. Now, you get to a point where now you no longer need to run anywhere, because you know that you no longer need to be reminded that greater is he that is in you than that he that is in the world. Now, you actually, by faith, can stand your ground. When the devil attacks you with sickness, you stand your ground, because you've overcome the wicked one. You understand? When something tries to attack your finances, you stand your ground. when you wake up at night and somebody is trying to mess, or there is some spiritual thing which is of a demonic nature, you know how to stand your ground. You don't need to call somebody. You don't need to do what. You know that you have authority in the name of Jesus. So you stand and take authority over that thing. Now then, even like for the most part, you don't come for those little children prayers. Okay, there are things in your life, of course, where you need an authority that is higher than you to sort it. But for the most part, you don't come with those prayers of little children. A lot of the things, you handle them yourselves. There are people who have come to me with those witchcraft things, and you know, there's witchcraft in my family and all that. And I look at the person and I say, you can't do that. Or come to hospital, my aunt is sick. I say, why don't you just lay your hands on them and they get healed? Like, take faith. Now, when you start doing that, at least for yourself, and you can stand your own ground, and you cannot be bullied by the devil, then now you qualify to be called what? Young men. Eh? Now you've moved away from little children to young men. And then it also says, in verse 13, I have written to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. Okay? Now you know for sure at that stage that there is not, and like, there is nothing the devil that is of any importance to you. You see, you, of course, you will try every once in a while to come and like shake you to see if you're steady or is steady. And so, but then he finds when you're actually steady. And you say, no, I know, you've overcome the wicked one. Go to verse 14. I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. Now, when you get past that level, and now the level of come, pray for me, this is not happening. Pray for me, this is not, to the level where the word of God abides in you. And you know your rights. Your rights by the scripture. So you stand on them and say, by his stripes I'm healed. And you stand on that and you get healed. Now you're a young man. Now it says that you are strong. The word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Now, everybody starts from the little children, then gets to the point. Some stay at that level. Unfortunately, little children. Now some get to the point where they actually get the word and put it inside them. And now it abides in them. And they become strong. And they believe the things that we talk about. And they no longer need to be, you know, they are not gambling. There's a sense of faith and total understanding of what is happening. Even when they sow seed, they know that this works this way and it is going to work for me. There is no gambling. The word of God abides in you. The word of God is inside you. And you cannot be shaken because you've put it inside you. Now, you know how to fight the battle of faith. Okay? And you're strong. And you stand your ground. But you're still a young man. Okay? Now, let's go ahead. Let's go to verse... back to verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him. Now, this known is a different kind of known from the little children. This known is the knowing of a man and his wife. Okay? Abraham knew his wife. Or somebody knew his wife. By the way, it only uses it when they are talking about the wife. When it's not your wife, they use other words. He lay with her. He did what? In the Bible only uses the word knew when it's a man and his wife. So some people knew and others do other things. Okay, lay. So if it... I just had to tell you that so that you know. Praise the Lord. Amen. I see some people who are laughing, very mischievous. And I know why they are laughing. Anyhow, so I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Okay? You have known him who is from the beginning. Verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Okay? He says it again. Verse 15. Okay. So the only quality he has for fathers is that they know him. They are acquainted with him. They know his purposes. They know his plans. They know him. You understand? Now, the trouble we have is there are so many people who want to be fathers, but they are little children. And there are so many teenage preggers. So many people want to be called Papa, Papa, and in actual sense, they are just young men. Praise the Lord. You see, when we start ministry and so on, everybody starts from that level of... And there are so many people who are in ministry but are little children. But you see, after some time, something inside you starts, something changes inside you. And you realize that the more you want to come close to God and serve him, certain things happen. and there's a certain price you pay. And then to be a father, there are certain things that come naturally to you, very naturally to you, when you are about getting to the level of fathers. 2 Corinthians 11:29 says that, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? You see now how fathers think. Eh? Like you, it's not any longer about. Now you see, for the most part, let me tell you. When we come into this and we proclaim that there's going to be a financial blessing and all that, and people get excited and people want to live their lives at that level, and that is perfectly fine, and they will stay at that level, but it's a very outer court level, very outer court. Even if you might seem to be prosperous and seem to have everything going your way. But you see, people at that level, all that matters is this world and their comfort in this world. They come from a place of comfort. You see, what is comfortable for them is what passes. So everything has to be about them, you know, everything has at that level. But then God pushes you away from that a bit. And usually he uses it using suffering. Okay? And then suffering has a way of making people think about other people. Okay? Now, if somebody has never gone without a meal, it's difficult for somebody to come and tell you that I have not eaten for 2 days and you get touched because you've never had that experience. That's why the Bible says that God committed all judgment to Jesus. Why? Because he's the Son of Man. Because God has never been hungry. He has never been tempted. So he says, Jesus, who went through all of that, is the one who judges all of us. Why? Because he has a sense of understanding. He knows what it is like to be hungry. He knows what it is like to be rejected and all those things. All the emotions we go through, he knows them. He's been through them. So somehow God can get you and put you away and put you in a place where you learn empathy. You learn that when somebody says they are throwing me out of the house because of rent, you can relate with that. Okay? And you're not just going to say, man, don't disturb me. Then you go and you sleep in your house. No. Somehow it sticks with you and you go. Now at this level, even when you go past the level of standing your ground and young men, you find that there is, when you hear somebody is in problems, you are in problems as much as they. Which this is what Paul is saying, that who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? Or as he says in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, that Galatians 4:19, my little children for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. You understand? Because you see, people don't understand that just because somebody got saved doesn't mean he's going to live this life. No, Christ has to be formed in them. And somehow somebody has to labor for Christ to be formed in them. So you see somebody and tell them, no. You have to stand your ground. Be in faith. That problem is going to be solved. Don't come. Now somebody comes and asks, I've seen this. Somebody comes and asks you for money and you want to give it to them. But you feel the Lord saying, no, don't give it to them because you're going to stand in the way of their progress. Now first let them be. They are learning. And then you know you've also been there. You've also been in places where you wished somebody gave you money and nobody did. Then when they don't, you learn that the best thing they ever did was not to give it to you. Because out of that you learned something. And now you're on a certain solid foundation because you were not spoon-fed all the time. Now you learned how to stand your ground and say by faith. I've told you how they came and threatened me. I went to, you know, throw you out of the house and what? And I stood and said, Father, your word says that nobody ever trusted in you and was put to shame. I am not going to be the first one. I don't know what happened, but somehow it did happen, and I paid the rent and what, and that's the last time. You know, like, you overcome that, and then you go to a place of fathers. Now, let me tell you this. The problem we have is, even in ministry, there are people, you can even relate this with natural life. A teenager, the only thing he has on his mind is himself. True? Yes. There are people who are in ministry. And I see them so many times. And they are on a very outer court, or even, let's say, inner court. But you know. And you see, even the ministry, it's all about them. It's all about them. It's all about the apparent glamour that they have, that, you know, all that. And like, there is no real wanting to, you know, there's no real fatherhood in it. And you can tell, and you can see it. The trouble is, there are people there who are calling them papa, but there is no papa in him. The man is a young man. You're encouraging teenage what? Pregnancy. But and you can see it, you can see that it is all about him, myself. You people are not honoring me. You people are not what? Let me tell you. It gets to a point. Now, after some time, God starts pulling you away from that whole thing. And now here are the people who are going to enter into the real end time purpose. Those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Here is what is going to happen. You lose, after some time in this thing, you lose a sense of always thinking about yourself. And now you start thinking about other people. And you know when your prayers are mostly about praying up for other people rather than for yourself. There comes a time in the course of your life when you something snaps where that self-centeredness just ends, and now you understand that you've crossed a certain line, and now you're no longer doing your things. You're doing the things which are of God. It happens for very few people, but I'm hoping it happens for all of you. And this is not just about ministry. Because you see, I can tell you this, like, you can come here. I can come here and I have words and I speak words and we go back home. That's one way of doing it. But then I can really go to the presence of God to find out what I'm supposed to speak. Because if I came here and I just spoke words, to be honest with you, I feel terrible the whole weekend. If I know that I've spoken my own things, like, you feel, I feel terrible. I feel like I wasted people's time. Like, it takes me almost up to Sunday evening to recover from that. And yet there was a time when I used to do it very comfortably. I just come and speak whatever I want and I go home and I'm okay. But then somewhere along the way I crossed a line. And then you realize that you have to seek God for what it is people have to hear at that time. And then you come and you know when you leave, you know that you were connected and that you are speaking things that are not of your mind but of the Spirit. And then it creates a certain sense of comfort. I told you that, but also a certain sense of fatigue. Okay? Extreme fatigue. Because when you've been, you know, ministering in the Spirit. Now, the thing is, that point at which you cross the line is where there is a big battle. A big battle. And now, that's the place where ordinary lives are separated from extraordinary lives. Now, that point when you know you are going a great businessman, that is the calling, that is the purpose. But you say, I am going to do it by the will of God and for the glory of the kingdom of God. For the glory of God, you understand? You can do it for yourself and you reach a certain level of success. It might even look good. But you see, I'm telling you, if I was to estimate, only 3% of the people cross that line and go the other side of where now your life ceases to be your own. John 21. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you guarded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will guard you and carry you where you do not wish. Now, when you give yourself up, when you are young, it is all about you. You wake up in the morning, you do what you want to do. But now I'm telling you this, that I can't wake up in the morning and I am definite about what I'm going to do. So even when I tell some I'm going to do this, except certain days when I'm actually involved in ministry, like today I knew I was coming here and so on, but I can't be definite because now one day I woke up in the morning and I felt a very strong urge to call somebody whom I hadn't called in a very long time and whom I knew way back. So I felt this strong urge to call her. And so I got on the phone and called her. Then she was very excited and said, you know what? Thank you very much for calling and what? So I was saying, where is all this coming from? Anyhow, I met her and then she had been going through a very, very, very tough time. Very tough time where she was suffering from a complete mental breakdown. And on Sunday, she prayed and said, God, if you really love me, send me somebody to come and rescue me. I wake up on Monday and I feel a strong urge. She just falls in, her name falls in my mind, pam. And I feel a strong urge and I have to call her. And I have to put off everything and I meet her. And then when we had spoken for quite some time, she left when she was very happy and very vibrant and very back in love with God. You see now, the point is this. If I had all my Monday planned out, like, you know, when I was young, you understand? Then, because actually I did have that Monday planned out. I had things to do. But then you know that there's something urgent. You wake up, the first thing that comes to you in the morning is there's this person who you need to call right now. And even when you go to take your coffee, you say, no, call right. You feel it inside you, the urgency. Then you just get on the phone and call. And meanwhile, somebody was, and it has happened to me so many times. Sometimes somebody has nothing to eat and they have gone, you know, days without eating. And you feel a strong urge to call them. And then you call them and say, and they say, God has sent you. And say, huh? To do what? To give me food. Because I don't have food. Now you see, the stuff that I'm telling you about, when you get in line with the purpose of, and really understand that you have no life of your own, and you know that your life does not belong to you. And you know that your life, you know that scripture which says that if those who seek to lose their lives, you know, those who seek to get their lives, save their lives will lose them, eh? And those who lose them for his sake will gain them. Now, there is no better place to be than that. Now, you see people who have chosen to live ordinary lives, and it's all about their natural comfort, and it's all about what is good for them, and their selfish interests, the little children and the young men. When you stay at that level, there are certain things you can never get into. For instance, the people, when you surrender yourself to God and you pray for people and you give yourself to people, you will see those people, even when they don't know, they will come and honor you and love you and what, because somehow in the spirit, they don't understand, but somehow in the spirit, you know, you were there and you were praying and somehow this person came into your spirit and you prayed for them. So the next time the person comes, he comes with a seed, he comes with what? Now somebody who has chosen to live his life out there, wants the seed, wants the honor, but they don't want to pay the price. You want to be selfish and be honored for being selfish. And it's not going to happen that way. You see these things even in the world of what? So now somebody completely gives up his life, totally. Now at that level, like the people of God will elevate you in their minds because God does that. You see, God does that. God puts his glory on you. I would have said shares his glory with you, but some of you will get offended. But but Jesus said, Lord, glorify me that I may glorify you. You understand? When you are glorified, God is what? Yes, it's like that. Of course, I know the Old Testament says the Lord God does not share his glory. That's also true. At a certain level. You understand? But you see, God tells Joshua, even in the Old Testament, that today I'm going to glorify you in front of the children of Israel. Because Moses is dead, they knew what Moses was. They knew when Moses says something, God has spoken, right? But he's now dead. So God says, I'm going to elevate you in their minds. So that also you, when you speak, they know that I am with you. You understand? And now, there is no other way that God can communicate to them other than showing them that this man is special. He's not like you. Now, when he speaks, you listen to him. You understand? Now, that person, to qualify, now you see the thing is, religious people who have chosen to live outside in the outer court, where it's all about them. When they see people who took the extra step and went deeper and deeper and surrendered their lives more and more. You see all these steps, it requires a sense of surrender in your life. But at the end of it, actually, you feel very good. Because it's very gratifying for you to see what God is doing in somebody's life through you. You understand? It's a very nice feeling, but you might never get it if you're always thinking selfishly. It's all about you. It's always about yourself. So now then you cross a certain line. I remember when I was arguing with God on what message to preach, and then he showed me a scripture in John chapter 7, who says, whoever speaks of himself seeks his own glory. Then I said, what? do you know that scripture? Eh? You put it up for us, John chapter 7. It messed me up because, you know, me, I want to preach something else. Then here is God telling me to preach something. And you know, sometimes you know it. You know what? You know that he's saying it. But you want to argue, so you want to pretend that what? He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. Okay. So now, you come and you have your thing, your message. You want to go and... Then God has something totally different. And then he tells you, this is what you're going to speak about. Now, until that moment, until he showed me the scripture, sometimes I would argue, then you do what you know you're not supposed to do, then you come away feeling very bad, but then you do it again. You know that. So you say, I think the other time they told you, so until some stage you just surrender completely, then his plans become your plans, his purposes become your purposes, then you start knowing him, knowing the plan of God ahead, knowing how you fit into it, knowing who you are in this grand scheme of God. Now, when you get to that level, like there are certain things which they can't tell you, which they will not tell you. You will see how authority comes automatically with submission to God. Because God shares his authority to those people who are submitted to him. Okay? Amen? Yes. Now, there's a time when certain things I would pray about them. And pray and pray and pray and pray. But then now, I just proclaim. I just proclaim and say, now this is going to be like this. And then it happens like that. Okay? Now, there are things I pray for, there are things I intercede for, there are things... Now, the things which I used to intercede for before, and I've tried doing those things, you try something, it doesn't work out. Then you go and continue submitting until your authority increases. Then now you just start, you know, ordering. Eh? Now, this is like this, this is like this. Eh? Like somebody who is here, who was stuck in a fake church and was becoming very poor. Huh? And was becoming very broke. Until one day I did what? I told his mother, get for me a handkerchief. You remember that story? Eh. He's here looking at me right now, but I'm not going to look in his direction. But you know, so now, initially I would pray, but no, now I just need a point of contact. Get me a point of contact. Now, yeah. But you know that church, the pastor where you, she came for me. Eh? She came for me seriously, by the way. Now, and, but of course, like, yeah. You know, people are still in the illusion that they can use witchcraft to hammer us. But, like, we are above witchcraft. Above, like, there is no amount of witch, even if they put their forces together. You see, when you submit to God, like, you remember that scripture which says, submit to God and resist the devil? Like, when you submit to God, like, there are certain things which, you understand? So, where people say, and then they carry out deliverances all night. And the devil loves that. He loves that. Then you get to a point of knowing God when you know that the devil is a non-factor. Amen? Where all your prayer is fellowship with God. And submission to his purpose, to his will, and taking yourself out of the way. And knowing that even if good things are happening for you, it is all for his glory and for his kingdom. And then you start caring for other people, sometimes even more than for yourself. You understand? But God has a way of making those people come and reward you. But you see people who choose to be out there and be selfish, when they see me driving a Range Rover, they will say that what? But the people whom I've prayed for will have bought it for me. And then, don't be jealous if you've chosen to live outer court. Don't be jealous if you've chosen to live what? Outer court. Don't be. Because nobody has forced anybody to do anything. You understand? Eh? But those things happen automatically. Now, also, you can go and take that step and get out of this outer court thing. Of where it's all about yourself. Now, we tolerate a few people who come, who are just born again, and come and say, man, this is not working, nothing is working. So they need me to, you know, okay, I release this, now I release that. Now even, man, I've even spent how long without a job and so on. But then you get to a point where now none of those things matter. You're actually just feeding yourself up with a certain knowledge by which your life is going to be constructed. Praise the Lord. And then you have no time to grumble. Little children are known by their instant... Like, children, their needs are immediate. That's how you tell a child. When a child is hungry, you have to feed it immediately. It doesn't... You can't tell, no, we are still cooking. No, he doesn't want to know. You understand? But imagine if an adult came and you told him, we are cooking. He says, no, me, I want food. Now, no. You would say, what's wrong with this man? But a child, Even when you give them hot milk, he will throw it away because you're supposed to give it to him when it's the right temperature. Because their needs are all instant. You understand? But you see, you can't stay a child all your life. At some stage, God expects you to be in a tough place and you worship him and you praise him and you thank him for the goodness and you actually walk in faith. Amen? Now, that is, and yet that is just little children. Manya, that's just what? Young men. Now, when you get to fathers, you're hungry, but you're praying for other people as hungry as you. Sometimes they're even more hungry than what? Than them. And some people have told me these things. I was praying to God about this. I was praying. And now God does that. Like, you're praying, and it's because he's trying to mature you, he shows you that, no, now for you, don't be crying here. Eh? Now there's somebody there who is like this. Pray for them. Somebody there is like this. Pray for them. Now, if you actually follow the leading of the Spirit, you enter into a place of maturity where now you start manifesting the great exploits that God is talking about. Praise the Lord. Then you qualify to say those who know they are God. And we are not talking about just ministry here. But the sad thing is I've seen ministers who are very selfish, very selfish. And it is all about them. And they are the ones who speak evil of other people. They are the ones who are jealous. They are the ones who slander other people who have... You see, because... And now let me tell you, when God gives you the honor, let's say you know all this, actually, you don't like it. Did you know that? It's at the point when you say that now whether I want it or whether I get it or not, it's not important. Then now you actually qualify to have it. You understand? Now, there are people who put very big importance on. Now, that's what it means to lose your life and you gain it for his sake. Because you say, no, it doesn't matter whether I drive this car or not. I mean, I'm okay. I'm building the kingdom. Everything is fine. Then you actually belittle the car in your eyes. Then guess what? It will show up. Now, somebody who has made the car look like it's the biggest deal in the world will say, those men are driving Range Rovers and what? But the person who is driving it does not care. It's not a big deal to him. Do you understand? And he had to get to the point where it's not a big deal for it to show up. But if he had also made it a big deal, like everything, it would vanish. And now that's how life is. You pursue something, it runs away. You forget about it and pursue God, it starts pursuing you. Amen? And so you cannot sit outside and people have dedicated their lives and are completely at the service of God. If you want to look at it, you look at the people, look at the other world, the demonic world. You see people who the devil shares his glory with. By the spiritual world is the same. You understand? Because he knows you cannot lift up that person without somehow it ending up with the devil. Amen? Like those people, whatever Miriam was telling us about. You saw those people, they are worshipping Beyonce. Thou art worthy and what? Do you think the devil says that Beyonce is taking my glory? No. If you worship her, you worship him. You understand? Okay, like if you lift her up, you lift. And now you see the price they pay for it. You will never see her in public. You are never going to see her anywhere. She's not going. She's in another world altogether. She posts something on Instagram, it breaks the internet. Now she's completely isolated, serving the devil. Now somebody can do the same. And you are completely... Now, when you start being like that close... I mean, you know God. The knowing of Abraham knew his wife. Where it's an intimate relationship. Then, it reflects in the way people respond to you. And certain things which other people, judging with carnal minds, are going to think that you really liked that so much. You like driving around. You like sleeping in this house and what. And the house is just a house. You're pursuing something bigger. You understand? And then the people who are seeing it are saying, man, those people, can you imagine those men of God and what? They are staying in good houses. And they are standing here and they are trying to judge people who are the other side. They don't know that person would be serving God if you're staying in a kasisira. But because God doesn't, God delights in the prosperity of his servants, he's not going to make them say in a word. And you see, that's also demonic mentality. The thing of thinking that a man of God can be poor and makes people rich. Those are people who have been in witchcraft. Because it's only in witchcraft where you find a man in a hut and he's promising to give you a Mercedes Benz. It does not happen in the kingdom of God. God has to first show you something and show it to you. Then you show it to other people. You understand? Eh? He first makes Abraham blessed and then he becomes a what? Hey, Abraham cannot be a blessing when he's not blessed. So, that is God's way. Now, the other way of where you go to a fake place and you go through many places, but there is a man there who is apparently making people rich. But he's living in absolute filth. That is witchcraft. That's how the devil works. Not God. Now, and you see simple things. Because when they were asking me, no, Katiyo, since you... Now, you see, they blame me, some of them, because they knew me when I was a journalist. So they say, the other day you were here over earning. How much? They know how much I was earning. Do you know how they know? Because they are still earning it 10 years later. So then they say, now, how come you know? And the thing is, so I told them that, no. If I'm going to teach people how to prosper, I have to first of all myself what? Because how can I teach them what I don't know? If I went to the gym, and the gym attendant does a stomach like this. What do they call him? Instructor. Why would I listen to him? He's worse than me. But you see, a gym instructor has to be fit. Then he takes off his shirt and you see these things. Then you say, now this is the man I'm going to what? To listen to, eh? Hey. Because how can somebody tell you how to lose weight when he's fat? Huh? If you have a stomach like mine, I have no business. What? Listening to you. Praise the Lord. So now that's how it works. Now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And now. So that thing of people judging from outside. Eh? By the way. Like. Let me tell you something. Yeah? When you still have reputations to protect. What. You know all those things. You're still scared about what people are going to think. You're still. You know. There's certain. A group of people to whom you have to appear a certain way, you're still very much out of court. God kills all those things and makes you have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Then you now suddenly have everything to gain. Then now you get on his way. Now when you get on his way, like he continually draws you closer and closer. You get to a point where now you see, if I can have, a nice house, my children are going to school and what, and drive a nice. And now that is really, really out of court. You understand? Now, he's saying there is a kingdom to be won. There is a place you have to step in that kingdom. And you cannot do it unless you continue completely connected to him. Even a business, you run it by the, you run it by the Lord. Let me tell you, I used to be with men of God who would say, you know those messages, 7 secrets to success. Eh? 6 ways to what? To achieving your destiny. Eh? 7 habits of highly successful men. Yeah? Keys. Eh? 6 keys. Eh? Man. Eh? And now we read those things. Eh? 6 keys to unlock. Eh? And sometimes the guy who is unlocking is himself what? He's locked out. And yet he has the keys to unlock. But there is no evidence of him being inside there. So now we read those things. Now, so after doing that, and you see God somehow lets you go through all of that. Then you realize, but where am I going? So somebody say, hi, the successful man. Always wake up in the morning. But let me tell you, there are people who wake up at 5 to push me guard. And they are not successful. Are they? So how can that be a secret? Eh? Taxi guys, do you wake up earlier than them? So are they your role models? So then you read those things, then you, what, cram. And by the way, do you know they actually appeal to the mind, eh? When, if somebody like a good orator came here and started speaking those things, man, you'd even lift your chairs. You know, you people have not seen people like that. Eh? There's a guy, man, there's a pastor who used to read. You could not listen to him when you're seated. Even if you're as cold as an egg. Like you'd what? Man, the guy would, you'd start slowly. Eh? And man, I used to admire those things. Eh? Until I understood that they are empty. Eh? He starts slowly. Then, you know, he goes in a crescendo. Then, you know, he lifts it up. Then he gets to a certain point. Then even the internet. But man, those guys are good. Eh? But those guys are good. Me, I respect them. Because there is he knows how to lift it up, then put you down. Eh? Then he lifts you up, then puts you... Like, he's as if he's like, you know those things which they control with what? With strings, eh? Like, as if he's a puppet master, eh? Man, then he lifts you up, then you calm down. Now, so you listen to all that, and somehow you substance, zero. Actual substance, which makes your life better. Zero. But they sound good. Seven ways, six keys, what? You know all those things. They sound good. Then one day I went and told the man who the man who was the kafuru in preaching those things. Eh? And he's such an orator. Man, by the way, I really admired that about him. If there's something I wished I could wake up one day and I have, was that kind of oratory skills. You know, that sort of thing. Eh? So I would sit down and listen to him. And, you know, like, not sometimes it's not necessary for the knowledge, eh? But just for the entertainment. Eh? Man, like, he was an entertaining speaker. Praise the Lord. So, you know, what keeps people spellbound? You know, I was shocked on Saturday that at 6:45, the tent was full, nobody had moved. Like, usually... because I'm not such an entertaining speaker, after 1 hour, people start standing up to leave. Even now, you're about what? To start. Okay, so let me finish before you what? Before you start. Praise the Lord. So, then I went and told this man, who was a kafuru, I told him, you know what I discovered? Eh? I discovered that there is only one. But people can complicate things. I'll come back to that. People can complicate things. Like 100 ways of how to please your man. Really? And you see a magazine, eh? And you see ladies tanning. But people complicate life. Eh? 100 ways? Why don't you just start a course unit? Huh? Like, okay, man. Like, you take 3 years in university learning the 100 ways. So when are you, you know, so I told this guy, I discovered there are no 7 keys or 6 ways or 5 styles and all that. Eh? There's only one way to success. Then he looked at me with contempt and said, and what is that? I told him, Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then he looked at me like this. I think we are not friends any longer. We aren't actually. I haven't spoken to him in like two years. And used to be our bad, you know, sit down, have dinner, what, coffee, and all. But somehow that messed him up. Because I realized that when you allow God to lead you step by step, you will go far. Amen? Not by power, nor by might. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. Like, one step at a time. Praise the Lord. One step at a time. And then he takes you out of... Now, there are people who... I've seen people praying for people. And they are... You see, it is about this person, not about the other person. You can, by the way, even if you have a gift, and you're operating it with such childishness, where it's about you, and trying to show off. And I've seen people like that. And some of them, I warned them and told them, listen, like everything in God is love. If you have a gift and it is not operated in love, then you are missing God. You come and we show you. Eh? Now I'm going to show you. Do you know that's how the devil operates? That's the devil's way of operation. It's all about bamboozling people. Just, you know what they call kusasamaza, eh? He comes and blows you away. He blows you apart and what? And then the Holy Spirit will say, don't do that. People are not ready. Don't do that. So anyhow, because I learned that step by step, by the way, you cannot do what God can do. You just, one year like this, He will tell you what to do. He will give you the people to do it with you. They will somehow come in. You know what? Did you hear the prophecy they gave me? Yeah. Eh? Yeah. Of things falling in my lap. Yeah. Eh? Yeah. Did you hear that? Yeah. You be there. Eh? Spanish speaking, what? Yeah. Those things, eh? Well, God is going to send dreamers, eh? Yeah. How many of you are dreamers, eh? Now, let me tell you, eh? Step by step, just follow the Lord. You'll feel this leading to do something. And you just do that one thing that is ahead of you. Don't try to go too far ahead. Just do that one thing. Then the next one will come. Then the next one will come. The next thing you know, people wake up and say, hey, this man, we knew him. How did you come up? How did you turn out like this? And you're there. And it happened step by step. Now, if you get into those new age things of seven ways, six keys, so many things. And you know, they try to get scriptures for them, eh? They get them from new age writers, and then they get scriptures for them. Now, then the Bible is, you know what they say, you're using the Bible like a drunkard uses a lampstand for support rather than for illumination. But, there's something I wanted to tell you. Eh? I don't know if I portrayed it very well, which the Lord has been impressing on me since last night, about how you can step out of the crowd of people for whom it is only about themselves. And you can come close to where the real success is, the top level success, even in business, even in politics, even in ministry, in every endeavor, there is a place out there where success is a guarantee. Amen? But it comes when you've submitted your plans and purposes away from yourself to God. And it's all about Him. Then He gives you a life which you never dreamt of. Praise the Lord. And you actually would never have gotten there without Him. And then, when you're giving it up, it's almost as if, man, now what am I going to have left? What am I going to do this? How am I going to survive without this? But then when you get there, you thank God that you got there. Because you realize that there is much better than out where you are. Amen? But it's at the surrendering level where the problem is. Eh? That place when you have to surrender. I've had issues like those even with women who want to get married. There's this man you love, but like I told them, dream after dream, she don't do it, don't do it. But then she knows the right person, but she's not in love. Eh? But the wrong person is the one who is saying all the right words. He's the one who opens the door for her, pulls a chair. Eh? Eh? And the guy who is of God even buys mineral water and just says, water. Yeah? And the fake guy will take off the cathing, then open for you. And then others will just throw it. Eh? Yes. Eh? You have some water. Yes. You. Eh? But you see, when the surrender comes, at the point of surrender, I wish people understood that God, you can't know better than God, but of course it takes us a while to learn this, that He knows better. Do you understand? Eh? Like you somehow always you think you know better, like a child knowing they know better what's, you know, than the parent what's good for them. So then you get to a point where you say, I've messed myself up enough, now let me trust God that He knows what is best, especially in areas of what? Ladies and marriage. Eh? That's the one place women have a problem trusting God. They say, other places I'll trust you, but you leave this one for me. Then you kutomera and then you go to Him to cry. And because He's a loving Father, He will send me to console you and tell you, no, bring your man, we pray for him and what. And you spend all your life praying for a man, yet you could have just avoided him. So you marry a prayer item. Because you refuse to surrender. Praise the Lord. Because you refuse to what? And you refuse to believe that God knows best. Praise the Lord. So now, your marriage is prayer, prayer, prayer. Fasting, prayer, fasting, prayer. You are managing, you know. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Just pray in tongues. Somebody say, my finances are released to flow non-stop. Hallelujah. I want you to believe that. Say, my finances are released to flow and flow and flow until I own property, until I own everything I need. House owners, praise the Lord. Somebody say, house owner. Say, I'm a landlord. Hallelujah. And it is manifesting. Eh? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because wonderful things happen here today. And I bless your name, O Father, because I release a financial blessing upon these people. In the name of Jesus, I release a financial blessing. And the angel of the Lord goes and causes things to fall in their laps. Deals, financial openings, powerful jobs. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Promotions even at work. In the name of Jesus. Now I'm seeing somebody who is doing saloon. Eh? Who does hair stuff? Eh? If you're here, come forward if you're in hair business. Eh? Come forward. I want to pray for you if you're in hair business. If you take more than a few minutes, then we'll move on to the next thing. You have a saloon? Huh? What, are you a stylist or what? Eh?
You're making ladies' hair.
Eh?
Yeah.
You make it from what?
From the hair pieces.
Okay. Okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. What's your name?
John.
In the name of Jesus, I thank you because John, your thing spreads. Amen. Are you in charge of it? Is it your thing?
Yes.
It's your thing. Eh?
Yes.
Okay. Now it spreads in the name of Jesus. And so many people buy your hair. Eh?
Amen.
And look nice in it. Eh?
Amen.
Eh?
Amen.
And even you get new ideas for designs.
Amen.
And things like that in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus.
Amen.
And do you import them? No, but you're going to start importing it. Eh?
Amen.
You're going to start importing them.
Amen.
Like nice hair pieces.
Amen.
Eh? Now, what is a man doing in hair? Huh? But you're going to thrive there. Eh?
Amen.
You're going to thrive there in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for each and every person here who connects with in Jesus' name. I bless your name, O Father. I thank you. Father, I thank you for an increase. I thank you for an increase. Somebody say amen. Somebody say increase. Say it again. Say it again. Amen. I seal it right now in the name of Jesus. It is done. It is done. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.